Thank you for joining us today with Newly Awakened Ministries.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Newly Awakened Fuel the Flame podcast. My name is Brian Simon. Just want to encourage you to lock in with us, join our website, check out our media, social media sites, and just always there trying to give you an encouraging word just to force you on, propel you on in the kingdom, just encouraged and empowered. And so we just thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to just share you. I'm going to try and only keep you 20, 30 minutes. Just wanted to share a little encouraging word. Tonight, I'm going to call this desperation. So obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. We know that. It's not like it's all brand new. Obviously, it's been going on for years and years. A lot of stuff, even, you know, we're talking about same-sex marriage and all this stuff going on in our country, in the U.S. today, and all the attack on heterosexual marriage and union. And you just see all of this lesbian, transgender stuff going on. We know what the Bible says very clearly. And it's not like it didn't happen. We know it happened back in Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's not new. It's just packaged different. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what desperation is. And honestly, all the chaos going on today, we need Jesus. We need Jesus in the nations. We need Jesus in America. And, you know, there's stuff's been going on. It's just perceived differently nowadays than it was before. Obviously, we have vehicles. They didn't. We have electricity. They didn't back in the day. Things are easier for us. So obviously, our methods of communication are different. And so, you know, social media is real big today. They didn't have that back in the day. But all the sin categories are still basically the same. So let's just talk about some of the different expressions of desperation, because we know in the Word, the carnal things of this world have enmity against the things of the Lord. And so there's always this constant battle going back and forth. So I'm going to share, just going to do a lot of scripture tonight. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. I'm going to read out of the Amplified version. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, the godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire. That's just so heavy. Verse 18, but if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, 16 to 21 in Amplified. That just paints a real picture of kind of where we are in our mindset in the world today. So as we cover the topic of desperation, I want you to just kind of keep the back of your mind, just keep it in the forefront, I guess. I won't say back of your mind, you'll forget, but just kind of keep in the forefront a question. That is this, am I desperate? And then part two of that, for who and for what? We really need to answer those two questions so we can kind of gauge, like do a self review. Am I desperate? What am I desperate for? I mean, am I desperate for a new vehicle? Am I desperate for better physical health? Am I desperate for repairing a relationship, making my marriage better? Am I desperate for the Lord? We just need to ask that question. So as we go through tonight, just talk about desperation, a couple of different forms of expression. I want you to just remember that question. We're going to come back to it at the end. Of course, I'm going to give you a little example. Typically, we think of desperation, and it kind of has like a negative connotation to it, honestly. Like, we're desperate. Oh, I'm so desperate. Lord, you got to do something. Man, I'm so in desperation right now. It's like there's always this agony and pain and suffering. And I'm going to give you an example. Let's say in a similar scenario happened to me and a friend, but let's just say you're in a car. You're going down a road you've not been on before. You're way out in the middle of nowhere. It's getting dark. Car runs out of gas. Not a lot of people have passed you on the road because not a lot of people travel on this road. You're like, oh, it's no biggie. I'm going to get out my cell phone and make a call. You have no GPS and you have no call ability because your cell phone has no signal. So now it's dark. Your car is out of gas. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're not real sure where you actually are because you're in the middle of a trip and you have no way of contacting anybody. Probably your gut reaction is not, yo, I need to get out of this car and I need to circle the car and just have a praise party and just give the Lord praise. I mean, that's awesome. And if that is you, hallelujah, pass it on. You know what? That's not our gut reaction 9 times out of 10. And so, you know, you start to find yourself in that place of desperation, and then things begin to happen in the back of your mind, and then you got your mind going in circles, and we totally almost misplace the Lord in that moment. And we're going to wrap that back around here in a moment. You know, let's talk about a biblical example. Oh, and I did want to share that actually happened to me and a friend. We was on our way to go see our pastor speaking in a new church about 3 hours away. We was taking back roads and the car died. And there's nobody around. It was a dirt road. We didn't know how to get anywhere. Car died, wouldn't start. We was there 15 minutes. Nobody came even on that road. We didn't have cell phones at the time, so we have no idea how we're going to call. And we got to talking. I'm like, you know what? We need to just get out of the car. We need to lay hands on this car and just command it to run in the name of Jesus. And I looked at him and he looked at me and he's like, okay, we can try this. I mean, he's radical. He's a radical brother. His name is Cole. He's now a pastor actually in Florida. Love him. And so we're like, you know what? Let's do it. We're just going to just pray and we're just going to believe the Lord. And so we got out, we bent over, we laid hands on the hood of that car. We just said, you're going to work in Jesus' name. You're going to get us to our appointment on time. We're not going to have any issues. And we said, amen, slapped each other five, got in the car. Buckled up, looked at each other. He turns the key. Boom, car started right up. We drove 3 hours to where we were supposed to be. Never had another problem with the car. So, you know, I'm just saying faith works supernaturally. We just got to keep him in the forefront instead of in the back seat. Hey, man, he needs to be the driver. So, of course, talking about desperation, we know Paul and Silas. Obviously, they had a moment where they could have totally set into desperation. But what happened? They began to praise the Lord. So I want to read a little bit of that story. And we're just going to go to Acts chapter 16. And this is going to be verses 16 to 26. I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Verse 16, it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer. So here they are on their way to prayer. A slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out loud, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming you the way of, to you the way of salvation. She continued to do this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turn and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment, down to verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews. And they are proclaiming customs which are not lawful for us to accept, being Romans. The crowd rose up against them together, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Now, mind you, verse 16, they're heading to a prayer meeting. I mean, they're going to pray, and then you got this demon annoying, and you just tell the demon to come out. It does, in the power and authority of Jesus, and now you're being reported to the authorities and stripped and beaten. Oh, that's a lot. So here we go. Verse 23, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Inner prison. I mean, he was so charged. I've got to secure these people. They didn't put them in the outer prison. No, he put them in the inner prison, the depths where there's multiple points of access to get out, because you got to go from the inner to the outer before you can get to the outside. So he put them in the inner, and they were in locked in stocks. So they couldn't walk anywhere. They couldn't do anything. And so what they do is, verse 25 says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. In the darkest hour, in the darkest place in the inner prison of that cell, they chose, in a desperate situation, to just glorify the Father and praise him and sing songs. In verse 26, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, to the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors, not just their doors, all the doors opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Hallelujah. In the moment of desperation, when we seek him not out of have to, but out of want to and desire to, and it's like, you know what, Lord, though all this stuff's happened, I'm going to give you glory because you're worthy. Things happen supernaturally because he inhabits the praises of his people. And so it is clear that in life, we're going to encounter situations. There's going to be circumstances. Let's just say, let's change it from situation, circumstance. Let's change it to opportunities. We're going to have an opportunity. We can walk in despair. We can walk in hopelessness. Or we can speak by faith and decree the hope that we have in Christ in that situation. Much like when we were broke down in that car in the middle of who knows where on a dirt road. You know what? What we had was Jesus, and we were on fire for the Lord, and we was going to get to that meeting, and by golly, he got us there. Hallelujah. So let's break down this word desperation. Honestly, the results of being in a state of desperation, it has two completely different expressions. Let's go over the dictionary definition first. The dictionary definition of desperation: utter hopelessness, abandonment of hope, reckless fury, a state of despair, typically one which results in rash or extreme behavior. An earthly expression of desperation could be, a group, are driven by a feeling of hopelessness, of agony and defeat, having no hope and given into despair. I mean, that's common. That's what we usually think when we hear desperation. So let's look at some synonyms of desperation: agony, anguish, audacity, desolation, despair, discouragement, distress, hopelessness. And I'm going to kind of focus on that one in the middle of all this. Hopelessness, misery, pain, pessimism, recklessness, torment, torture, wildness. That's just one side of an expression of desperation. Typically from the carnal side, because I mean, usually you get to the lowest of low and you're desperate. But let's take a look at a different look and a different expression. Let's say this may be the kingdom, a kingdom expression of desperation. Because there's going to be times that we're going to have to praise the Lord when we don't feel like it. We may be at a low place, but you know what? There's a lot of times we praise Him because we're desperate for more. A heavenly or kingdom expression of desperation could be this: they, we, you, I, us are driven by hope, by confidence, by expectation, and the power of His redemption and eternal word. Romans 5:11, and I'm because I'm trying to pick on the word hope. Romans 5:11 says, "For that hope will not shame, delude, or disappoint. It won't shame. It won't delude. It won't disappoint." That's the kind of hope we need to have, that hope in Christ. Honestly, we know that typically most things the kingdom way, honestly, they are opposite of the carnal way. The Bible paints that picture. We're going to go First John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to read out Amplified. "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, in the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, in the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources, or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out His purposes in his life abides, remains forever." Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. We go to verses 7 and 8, going back to the Amplified. "Because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then, those who are living the life of flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him." So we know that we're at a war. I mean, we're a flesh suit, but we're a spirit man on the inside. We're just in an earthly body. And our spirit man is at war with the earthly body because we got all this stuff going on. And how much more when the world is in chaos and there's confusion and contention and deception, all that stuff around us, how much more important to focus on the still small voice. And so I want to talk a little bit about desperation. Instead of the world seems to be mostly a negative thing, let's try and take it from a kingdom aspect, which, since we know the body has enmity towards the things of God, let's look at the opposite of desperation. We'll call that the kingdom expression. And the kingdom expression, let's look at antonyms for desperation. So instead of all the pain and the turmoil and the wrath and the anger and the agony, hopelessness, we've got cheer, we got comfort, we got contentment, delight, happiness, health, hope, joy, peace, pleasure, relief, advantage, calm, collectedness, confidence, peacefulness, security. How many have heard that verse, Psalms chapter 42, verse 1? I'm going to read it. It talks about the deer. In the New Amplified, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, God. David just crying out to the Lord. You know, he sees a deer. He's all about nature. He sees a deer panting for water, and he's like, man, even as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, Lord. You see, that's a desperation cry, but he's not necessarily in despair. He's got that hope in Christ. Hallelujah. This is what I like. I was reading a commentary. It's the BBC commentary. It says, our inner longing for fellowship with God can be compared to the vehement craving of the deer as it wanders through the parched countryside, its sides throbbing and its breathing quickened as it longs for the brooks. That's so descriptive. I mean, it's like that deer needs to get some water. It knows if it can just bend its head, drink some water, there's some restoration that'll come back to its body. How awesome David's saying, you know what, with everything going on, how I long for more of you, Lord. Gamaliel Bradford, he says this is one of his quotes. I come across this and it's very powerful. My one unchanged ambition, wheresoever my feet trod, is a keen, enormous, hunting, never sated thirst for God. How powerful is that? I mean, that is a desperation that I want. I'm going to say it again. My one unchanged ambition, wheresoever my feet trod, is to have a keen, enormous, hunting, never sated thirst for God. So let's break that down. What does it mean to be sated? Sated's definition, in a state of complete and thorough satisfaction, having one's appetite fully satisfied by having enough of something. So let's read it using those words instead of the word sated. My one unchanged ambition, wherever I go, wherever my feet trot, is to have a keen, focused, enormous, huge hunting, never completely or thoroughly satisfied appetite for God. That is huge. That is so rich. I'm going to pray for my Father. We just give you glory and honor. Lord, I pray that your body, we would truly come one amongst all the divisions, all the separation. Father, your body would just come one in you, in your Son, Jesus. And that, Lord, we truly would have one ambition. And is that just that we would have a never sated thirst for you, for your word, for your presence. Father, I pray that wherever we are, whatever the situation, Lord, there just be a burning fire to be with you at every moment, even in the crazy times. Lord, there just be this deep-seated hunger for more of you. Jesus' name, amen. Talking about desperation, and I'm talking about from the kingdom view now. You know the song Michael W. Smith did This Is the Air I Breathe. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I mean, he's not singing that from a place of being utterly just miserable. That's not where he was coming from. He is coming from a place of just, man, God, I'm just so hungry for your presence. I just want as much as I can get. I'm desperate for you. There's another song that I wanted to share for you. It's by Red Rocks Worship. You can find it on YouTube. It's called I Am Desperate for You. This song is so powerful. I wanted to read a little bit of the lyrics here for you just so you can see how it starts. It's like, I'm going to play it in the background. Maybe you'll be able to hear it. But if you get a chance, Red Rocks Worship, I Am Desperate for You. And this is what it is. This is what he says. My heart is open, poured out, and broken. Boldly, I lay it down here in this moment, all my devotion. No better time than now. Oh, 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 I give it all. I give it all. I'm desperate for you. All I know to do is only to let go and fall at your feet, just as I am, with these empty hands. I give everything, all I have, all of me. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I mean, that is so heavy. That is so heavy. And as it goes through the song, there's so many, if you get a chance, you really just need to, you just need to listen. It's so good because it talks at the end. It's like, all I have, I give to you. I give all, Lord, I give all. So desperate for you, Father. Just such a powerful, powerful song. And you know what? We're in a state of the world right now. Man, we need the body to be desperate. What happens if we're desperate? If we're desperate, we don't have to be broken to be desperate. We can be so longing and passionately in love, wanting more, that we could walk with such a fire. I mean, you're seeing it start happening in all these places. I'm so sorry. You're seeing it happen in all these places. Asbury Revival, you know, last I read, there's 30 to 40 different places across the nations that are just blowing up in revival because all started out. Some kids in a worship service decided to linger. And it was just a few. There's just a handful of kids, young people. They just decided to linger. And then that city, like there's 1,500 people in that college. And they had 100,000 visitors, 100,000 visitors in a 1,500 person college in 30 days. I'm telling you, the fields are ripe with the harvest. We need to be desperate. We need to burn for Jesus. Do you remember those two questions I mentioned earlier? Am I desperate? For who and for what? That's my challenge to you today. What are you desperate for? Are you desperate for him? Because he wants all of you. Does your view of desperation have a carnal expression or a kingdom expression? It's much negativity. Everything going on, government, banks collapsing now, discrimination. I mean, there is a reason to be positive. Let me tell you, his name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Again, I say Jesus. He is the reason for every season, for all seasons. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 4 in the Amplified. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. When you break down the word hope right there, and the reason I'm highlighting hope is because in the World's Dictionary for desperation, it's hopelessness. But in the kingdom, it's hope, because we have hope in Christ. Hallelujah. Hope in the Greek, in Romans 5:4, it means to boast and to celebrate. That's the kind of hope. Hope, celebration, because it will not disappoint. Celebrate and boast because it will not shame, because it's God's love that's been poured out in us and our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, that is so powerful. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'll read this now, the Amplified. Praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ever-living, an eternal hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5 by 7, or 5, chapter 5, verse 7. Oh my goodness. For we walk not by sight, or we walk by faith, not by sight. You know what? That's kind of where we need to be. We can't allow the situations, the circumstances, the opportunities, as I said earlier, to persuade our emotions, our feelings. The Word of God is absolute truth. Fact is a temporary truth. Think about that. Facts are temporary truth until there's another fact that overwrites the other fact. But the Word of God is an absolute truth. It will never fail. It will not return void, but it'll go forth and accomplish all that it's set out to do. We need to be desperate for Him. You know, part of that, building that fire, starts with a hunger for the Word. I want to read Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 30. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, there he also called. Whom he called, there he also justified. And whom he justified, there he also glorified. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance, the realization of things hoped for, the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. We just need to start decreeing what the Word of the Lord says in every situation. We need to be desperate to see the hand of God move, and not so we can see results, so we can see Him glorified. You know, signs and wonders are coming. We're in a season of signs and wonders, I believe, are just going to begin to pop up like popcorn erupting because it's fully done. There's just going to come such powerful encounters of Holy Spirit across the nations. I remember the first encounter for me is an encounter with the Spirit of God that changed my life forever. I can't go back. I've experienced Him. I want more all the time. He does stuff all the time. But I'm a junkie. I want more of Jesus. I want more and more and more too. I can't take any more. I still want more. I want to overflow. I want to slosh with the glory of God in my life that others can be impacted. Not by me. I'm a nobody. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see him. My heart is not less of me, more of him. It's none of me and all of him. None of me, Father, all of you. That's what I want out of my life. So there definitely is reason to hope. And I say it again, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. So why do you need to build a fire? Kind of wrapping it up right here. Why do you need to build a fire? There's basically three things. You need something flammable. You need oxygen. And you need a spark. So I'm like, okay, Lord, we're talking about desperation. I want to close out with first love. And we need to know how to rekindle the first love. How do we get back to that place of the first love? You know, when you first met your spouse or that significant person in your life, just radically, you do whatever it took to be around them, to be close to them. We need the same thing for Jesus all the time. We need to not get lost in doing good to lose the passion. So these three things are required. We know we need something to burn. Well, how about our heart to burn for the Lord? We need oxygen. What is oxygen? Well, it's the breath of God. He breathed life into us. When he breathed into us and gave us life, we have the breath of God. So we need our heart to burn. We need the breath of God. We need a spark. What's a spark? Well, tongues of fire fell in the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's the spark. So just remember that. You know what? You got a heart. Make sure it's burning for the Lord. You have the breath of God. What is the breath of God? It's the word of God being breathed on inside of us. Every time we read it and take it in, we're breathing in the word. And there's a spark, and that's Holy Spirit, because it will breathe on the word and ignite a fire on the inside that'll burn and burn and burn. Hallelujah. What we need in America and across the nations, we need a sold-out bride. I don't mean S-O-L-D. I mean soul, S-O-U-L-E-D. Sold-out bride. Sold-out bride that will pour out their heart and their affection for Jesus, their Savior, with reckless abandon. Remember, desperation in the carnal was reckless fury. How about a kingdom expression of reckless passion? Whatever it costs, God, I'm all in. All of me wants all of you. I want there to be none of me. I want all of you. So when people look at me, all they see is all of you. And Lord, my fingerprint wouldn't exist, but your thumbprint would. Hallelujah. First love can grow dim if we don't tend to it. It's the same in the kingdom. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He's speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he says this: "But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love." You know, when I go back to that BBC commentary, it says this: the tragedy for the church at Ephesus was the fire of its affection had died down. The glowing enthusiasm of its early days had disappeared. The Christians could look back to its better days when the bridal love for Christ flowed warm, full, and free. They were still sound in doctrine and active in service. Think about that. They were still sound in doctrine and active in service. You can read that in verses 2 and 3 of Revelation chapter 2. He even brought that out. They were doing the work. The problem was their motive of all the worship and the service was missing. They lost their desperation for the heart of the Lord. They got busy and tied up doing and doing the work for the Lord. They lost their passion. They lost their first love. So here we are today, different culture. If we dissect what's going on, it's clear to see, honestly, with all the crazy, it's attack on the nuclear family. Why? Because family was God's idea. That was his design. Been constant attack. Marriage, gender, church, religion. They're going after the kids now. Heard a post just the other day where they're putting transgender things in teaching sex education for kids in the at the 5 year old level, kindergarten. That stuff doesn't need to be taught to a 5 year old. We got to stand up, church. I'm telling you, if we burn with reckless passion for him, we will change our cities, our schools, our states, our countries, the nations. But we got to burn for him. We got to be desperate for him. Desperate on our hope that is in Christ eternal. The body may perish, but the soul will live forever. Let's not be the church of Ephesus. Let's not get busy being active and strong in doctrine and lose the passion for him. God bless you all. I hope this is encouraging. And I don't want to leave it on a down. It's not about that, man. It's time to burn. That's the message. It's time to burn. Burn bright, my friends. Father, I bless the body. I bless the body. I bless your bride across the nations, Father. I thank you that regardless of circumstances, oh, there's an opportunity for more of you. And I pray you meet them where they are. Lord, in the quiet place, you would be that small voice just bringing encouragement and comfort and peace and breakthrough. Lord, that deliverance would come even, that they would be just refilled and refilled and refilled with Holy Spirit and just empowered and encouraged to just press on. Father, I thank you for the ones that are truly in a desolate place. Lord, a hard place. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, even when they decide that they're going to lift you up and they're going to believe and they're going to walk by faith and not by sight, but they'll see you manifest your glory and you will be their provision in every situation. Father, I thank you that you're touching people even now, or even those that need healing. Father, I thank you that as they reach out to touch the hem of your garment, or you touch them and they are restored and made whole in Jesus' name. I thank you for the fire of God that burns eternal. I thank you, Lord, that you empower us to walk with power and authority, with grace, with forgiveness. Lord, that we can love our neighbor as ourself, not to condemn, but to retrieve and help them get on the right track so they can be redeemed by the power of your love. So Lord, let us walk as a burning love altar for you. Desperate, reckless passion for your word, for your presence. I give you honor and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Thank you for coming along. Pray that this was an encouragement, and keep newly awakened in your prayers. We appreciate your prayers. We've got a lot of stuff coming up this year. We're just excited for what the Lord is doing. And we'll post some links in with this so you can show how to give if you want to give. If you want to submit prayer requests, we definitely want to pray for you. And We just believe the Lord's going to do great, mighty things through your life. Keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this week's Fuel the Flame from Newly Awakened Ministries. You can follow Newly Awakened Ministries on Facebook and Instagram. You can also connect with us through newlyawakenedministries.com.